Shire is a leading global specialty biopharmaceutical company with a focus on helping people with life-altering conditions to lead better lives. While Shire's portfolio of ADHD medicines helps patients diagnosed with ADHD, we recognize the need to provide additional support to them and their families. And that's why we at Shire value our local, regional, and international partnerships that are designed to develop and enhance programs to improve the understanding and awareness of ADHD. At Shire, people diagnosed with ADHD have our full attention. To learn more about Shire, visit www.shire.com.
Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is Wednesday, March the 28th in the year 2012. Our topic tonight, coaching dual diagnosis, ADHD and developmental disabilities. With us in our virtual studio is Steve Gundy. For scheduling purposes, this show was pre-recorded, and we will get underway and airing in a second, but a few quick announcements. First, for those that live in the Baltimore, D.C. area, CHAD is having their regional conference Saturday, May the 19th in the year 2012. For more information on that, go to CHAD, CHADD.org. We're also, it's not too early to start saving the date for their annual conference. This year will be in San Francisco. From November 8th to November 10th in the year 2012. I want to remind everybody out there of our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/attentiontalkradio, and you can post on our wall, access archive shows, see a list of upcoming shows, and listen to Attention Talk Radio live. There's also an opportunity right now to win a free iTunes gift certificate just by going to the Advertisers and Giveaway tab and completing the form. So, I think that's all the announcements, so let's get on our way. Again, with us today, tonight, is Steve Gundy, and here's the show.
Tonight, in our virtual studio, we have Steve Gundy, and we're here today to talk about coaching dual diagnosis, ADHD, and developmental disabilities. Steve is an MSW and ACD is a coach supporting people living with ADHD and developmental disabilities. Steve coaches individuals through their personal life circumstances to reach their full potential. Steve is an ADHD coach trained with 15 years of experience as a family and behavioral consultant. Steve has been happily married for 13 years to his wife, Kim. He's a loving father to his 10-year-old daughter, 9-year-old special needs son, and 20-year-old stepson. He's passionate about gourmet cooking and serving in his local church. And with that, Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff. It's a privilege.
I want to frame this out for our listeners. I've known Steve for a period of time. Every once in a while, we just kind of catch up. And a month ago, we just called each other. I think he initiated just to kind of check in. And we got into a conversation, and he started talking to me a little bit about coaching dual diagnosis, those with ADHD and developmental disabilities. And it was absolutely a fascinating conversation, which instantaneously in that conversation, we got to have a show about this. And I want to frame this out a little bit from my understanding, and then Steve, just ask you some questions around it. What was fascinating to me is having a dual diagnosis and coaching that individual just like you would kind of coach everybody else, but there was this other element of the coaching, the caregivers and support structures and stuff like that, which was just really fascinating to me. So I guess let's begin with just in general, can you just talk about coaching individuals that have ADHD and a developmental disability diagnosis as well?
Well, it's interesting how there's so many similarities. Although, the biggest difference is the level of functioning that person has, different to your person we normally see on the street who also has ADHD. A person who an individual who has ADHD along with their autism spectrum diagnosis has all the things that come with autism. You know, we're processing things much slower. To kind of qualify this, I work with the higher functioning autistic types. So they're verbal, you know, they're they have a level of functioning that can go about their day, but my coaching empowers my ability to work with them to reach a meaningful life. So, you know, the dual diagnosis just comes into play, and there's different things that we do to specifically work with them that can meet them at the level of functioning that they have, which of course then is lower than what normally we would probably run into as coaches working with folks with ADHD.
What's interesting to me is if they have a lower level of functioning, it seems to me the tendency would be for people not to maybe consider coaching and consider, I don't know what the right adjective is, but smothering or coddling or kind of taking care in a stronger way than you one wouldn't. But what I'm hearing is actually coaching can be very effective for this group.
Absolutely. The coach in us doesn't want to coddle, caregive. That's actually the job of the caregivers who are
uh-huh.
working with that individual. So as a coach, when you have a system of people that are working with the individual, it actually creates the space for you to come in and work with them in a very special way. It's just probably the approach is going to be a little different. We're going to work with the individual on a much more concrete basis, probably working with them on a more literal level, we can't assume certain things when we communicate with them. We have to make it very, very literal, apparent, and all the things that come with ADHD coaching. If we're going to make something visual, the visual has to actually be there, not something they conceptualize in their mind somehow. Just as an example.
So what that might look like is when you say visual, like just something as simple as daily routines, actually getting a big picture of toothpaste and a toothbrush and put it on the mirror in the bathroom as a visual reminder?
Yeah. Like, for instance, I worked with a fellow who has an Asperger's diagnosis. And he also has an ADHD diagnosis. If this guy's not careful, he's going to be on video games for hours on end because he's just not aware of anything else when he's doing this. And time elapses, and we know that happens many times with folks who have ADHD because we're not aware of the time issue and the spatial issue. So this particular individual has some daily goals that he works on for his level of functioning, which happens to do with daily chores. And so literally to remind him, and he is a visual person, to remind him that he is able to complete these chores, we literally put a vacuum, a plate for doing dishes, and some hygiene tool that he uses in his room as a visual reminder, put in a place where he always wakes up in the morning and sees as a visual reminder for him to do that right away. Or we, and of course, as ADHD goes, this is always changing. The place where we put these things are always changing. And what we use as that visual reminder is always changing.
So you say, there's a physical three-dimensional vacuum cleaner in his bedroom where, as a visual reminder that's a chore that he needs to do that day.
The actual vacuum cleaner, right. It might sound odd, but the bottom line is for this individual, it works.
Well, actually, it kind of makes all the sense in the world. You just have to overcome that belief that, you know, it doesn't belong in the closet. It belongs in that part of his bedroom as a reminder to him. And the fact that, hey, you know, if you put it there and he's remembering he's doing it, and you're actually empowering him to accomplish his goals and move forward.
That's right. Keep in mind, a lot of different – before we collaborated and used this coaching approach with him, caregivers were trying everything. What they hadn't gotten a handle on was his visual style, and they were using – reminders that he would acknowledge and never act on. And what we found was, and I think at one point they actually used a stove timer. When the stove went off, it just became a part of his experience with a video game. So all those things were auditory things to stimulate him towards action, and yet the visual was his primary method of creating the motivation he needed, mm-hmm. and the short-term memory he needed to act.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes right down to really identifying what really worked and then attaching that to a very, very, very concrete, literal method for putting it there.
What's really fun to me about this conversation is overcoming actually my beliefs, because if I start to visualize a lower functioning individual with ADHD, I begin to start wanting to do it all for them as opposed to thinking that they can be empowered to do this. And coaching is as viable for this group of people as they are for anybody else. And just my mental thing, before we had that conversation, I just wouldn't have gone there. So it's really, this is really helping me open up my eyes. And the scenario that you just played out there with the vacuum cleaner and the plate and the hygiene tool really makes all the sense in the world. I mean, it's obviously brilliant.
Okay, well, I wouldn't quite go there with myself, but I try to do what we do at Attention Talk Radio and see what's obvious and put it into practice.
There we go. Now, do you find in working with these individuals when they start to have some success, is it are they more joyful of what they're able to accomplish over the normal, average person that you might work with or somebody with ADD, or is it about the same?
Well, it kind of depends what they respond to. What you're really speaking to, and this is kind of where the behavior consultant in me comes out,
mm-hmm.
One thing that I don't claim brilliance, but I do believe in a lot of things, and one of the things I do believe is that people respond to rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, first thing we think of is monetary or some type of tangible reward, but this particular individual that we just talked about, he just loves it. He's very tactile, meaning he responds to touch.
Mm-hmm.
And a perfectly socially acceptable way to touch an individual in this particular context is that slap. He's a 28-year-old fellow.
Mm-hmm.
Slap him on the back. Hey, man, great job.
Mm-hmm.
You got it done, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And again, what we're talking about are all those things in a very literal fashion, in a very intentional fashion, that really speak to that person that in many cases they never hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So again, what we assume, we cannot assume, and we have to actually do.
Absolutely.
and yet, as simple as that, or as obvious as that may sound, remembering to do that is all about, as a coach working with developmental disabilities, is all about our presence with them.
Mm-hmm.
If we know that they need that slap on the back, you know, like we do during a baseball game or something, we say, hey, great job. Well, what are we really reinforcing him to do? We're reinforcing him with the verbal praise that he needs, matched with that slap on the back that he loves.
Mm-hmm.
The next guy will be like, don't touch me. You know?
Yep.
that next guy just wants a stick of gum or something. You know?
It's matching the right rewards with that particular individual to motivate them. So, again, it's brilliant. Steve, I need to go to a break. When we come back, let's kind of bring the caregivers into this equation a little bit. Before we do,
sure.
For our listeners that would like to contact you or learn more, website's the best place to go, right?
Yeah.
And that's stevegundy.com?
Right.
All right, and with that, we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and, of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. With us today in our virtual studio is Steve Gundy. Before the break, we were talking about coaching dual diagnosis individuals with ADHD and developmental disabilities, and we were talking about the fact that all these particular individuals can actually really be empowered by coaching, and Steve was sharing with him some specific examples of what that looked like, which was fascinating. Steve, in our previous conversation, we were talking about these particular individuals and coaching them, but you also had brought in the caregivers into this mix and talked about, like, part of coaching these individuals actually working with their caregivers. Can you, I guess, begin by speaking to kind of where they're coming from? And when we say caregivers, you start to think of people that are doing a lot, but can we talk about where they're coming from and then actually how you coach them and kind of bring them into the mix a bit?
Sure. When we're talking about caregivers, we're talking about a parents of an adult developmentally disabled child, their adult child. We're talking about the people who actually work one-on-one with these individuals, who are non-family members hired to be able to give the caregiving that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
We're also talking about someone who is acting as a legal guardian, which may also be one of these parents, but it may not even be a family member who's appointed to act as a guardian for these
mm-hmm.
individuals. And all these folks are very vested into creating a meaningful life in some way, shape, or form. But in one matter, when we talk about behavior that's not adapting well to social expectations, we run into some difficulties that can get in the way, and that's why a service like myself might come into play to work with that.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience has been that in some cases, no matter who the caregiver is, you know, we all form attachments on how we need to be, like
mm-hmm.
coming back to the previous segment.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in, you know, put that right in front of the person. That's not where that goes.
Mm-hmm.
The vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, coaching the system of people that is working to provide this individual a meaningful life, can, because of what they're attached to or what they believe something to be, becomes a matter of helping shift their attention to what will help them detach from that, so that individual can essentially be the individual that they are. We all want to be the individuals that we are. But that can become difficult when we talk about socially unacceptable behavior, which can be kind of vague because there's a fine line there, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give a specific example.
Please.
Sure. An example of another individual I work with who happens to be diagnosed with Asperger's, and this individual will spend 2 hours eating dinner. Now, that's a long time,
uh-huh.
especially if you're out at a restaurant, right?
Uh-huh.
You can become quickly attached to how long dinner needs to be and when dinner needs to be done. If we know anything about people with Asperger's who are trying to create a meaningful life for themselves, they have some quirky things about them,
mm-hmm.
just like many people with ADHD might have quirky about them.
Mm-hmm. And, or anybody else, for that matter.
Exactly. What do you know? We're all normal, and we're all and we're all have our little quirky things going on. So this individual, if you were to ask this individual why he spends so much time eating dinner, well, he spends his time what would appear to us to be playing with his food, chopping it up, mixing it up, doing different things with it. Frankly, it might look gross, depending on how you're really paying attention to it. This individual spends this time doing it, and he'll tell you the reason why is because he gets to enjoy his meal longer. That guy just really likes food. I mean, you know, and yet in a more sophisticated world, we're probably all spending an hour and a half or so at a really nice restaurant if we could to really enjoy it, because we're probably paying good money for it, right? So this became difficult for the caregiver of this individual because, and keep in mind, this is in a home setting.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes very difficult because you got a family who's needing to move on, do their different things. And yet what we coached the caregiver on was how to bring this into a more socially acceptable place without being attached to how we get there. The caregiver was very focused on trying to change this guy's rituals,
mm-hmm.
which is very connected to who he is as an individual,
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to look at how to move him into a place where it becomes shorter amount of time that he can take responsibility for. Now, I could get into all the details of how we did that, but I don't think we have much time for that.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Well, but so essentially, it became an issue of her shifting her attention from what he's doing during dinner to what the outcome really is and how we can reinforce him towards that outcome while still having integrity with the person that he is, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So in doing that, am I hearing you say it was really the caregiver shifting their attention, or what did you guys end up coming as a possible way to manage it?
Okay, so the possible way to manage it was enlisting this individual's ability to monitor his own way of watching time.
Hmm.
See, the individual wasn't, I've got to have it be 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
When the caregiver was focused on trying to change his rituals, that's when he resisted, and that's what maintains the resistance.
Got it.
So when we shifted attention to the outcome that we wanted,
mm-hmm.
and worked towards that outcome, and praise the individual in so many reinforcing ways with rewards towards that, now the individual was not attached to the resistance they needed to have.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, this is interesting because it kind of goes to what's cool about this is you're working with the individual, kind of coaching them, but in the bigger picture, actually coaching the caregiver here at the same time to look at the situation differently and say, hey, listen, it is what it is. Let's quit trying to change his rituals, because I don't know a lot about the Asperger's, but many of those rituals I understand are kind of paramount. I mean, that's kind of what they cling to. So let's make some adjustments over here so this will work together, which is brilliant.
Yeah, and sometimes what we, you know, on a more global level here, sometimes what we don't realize that we're trying to change when we're assisting folks with what we see as being broke.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're trying to assist them, we don't realize that what that person may be feeling is changing who they are in terms of how they express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Which may look a little quirky to us, but, well, what are we really saying the goal is here?
Mm-hmm.
When you're right in the middle of it and you're experiencing what just doesn't feel good at all to you as a caregiver, we fall into the trap of trying to fix it,
mm-hmm.
because it's broke.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily broke, it's just different.
Yep.
And what we're really trying to aim towards here is just bringing what appears to be a weakness into a context where it functions as a strength. That's all we're really talking about here.
Makes all the sense in the world. Tell you what, Steve, we need to run to another break.
Okay.
Again, for our listeners out there, if you've got some questions for Steve or you want to contact him, go to Steve Gundy, that's STEVEGUNDY.com. And with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that get smaller as time passes. To place an order for a time timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Steve Gundy in our virtual studio, and we're talking about dual diagnosis of ADHD and developmental disabilities. This has been a spectacular show. I'm learning so much, Steve. It's absolutely amazing. With the time that we've got left, what's interesting to me is there's a little bit, to me, that's like a paradigm shift is the caregivers actually moving away from kind of fixing, kind of controlling, taking care to really, really working and empowering these individuals in these roles really to manage themselves and thrive. So the cool part to me is that you're coaching the individual, but you're actually coaching the caregivers and the system. When you're working in this type of system, do you work with the caregiver and the individual at the same time? You do it separately? How does that work?
Wow. However the puzzle needs to be put together, I guess.
There we go.
It looks different in every situation because there's multiple contexts in every situation. So when we talk about coaching a team of people working for the benefit of this individual, okay, mm-hmm. now you're starting to work with an interdisciplinary team
mm-hmm.
of people. And so what many times I might work with this, I will work with this individual hands-on. In another context, there's a relationship that's developed so well between the individual and a caregiver, and so I will coach the caregiver to do certain things, whether the caregiver realizes it or not.
Uh-huh.
Coach the caregiver to work with this individual that empowers that relationship for transformation with this individual to happen. So it really just kind of depends on what's going on. Many of these individuals require quarterly meetings with the interdisciplinary team.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's certain discussions that will happen as it relates to the individual's behavioral needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I will become the social worker who advocates for a certain approach that the team needs to be taken. And it will be done through a documented plan that I write for everyone to get trained on and follow. So multiple contexts, team meetings, actual live trainings with caregivers, actual
wow.
work with the caregivers, actual hands-on work with the individual. It
wow.
just depends on what the individual's needs truly are, and it's my job to pretty much boil it down to its essence and say, here's what it looks like.
Wow. We've got about a minute and a half left. Any other insights you want to share that would be valuable to our listeners at this point?
Sure. I think a lot of coaches might be quick to arrive to there's a certain value in coaching that says who that person is and the kind of person they're being is what we want to hold in a safe place for
mm-hmm.
that person. Just because a person is lower functioning does not mean, and they deal with things on a concrete level, does not mean we can't go to that conceptual place. We probably can't allow them to arrive to that picture of who they are.
Uh-huh.
What's different about a coach working with someone who has a developmental disability?
Mm-hmm.
You see that with them. You see what's obvious about who are they becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And you go there and have that discussion with them intentionally, and you attach something concrete to it to help get them an idea of what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to be careful because you don't want to suggest to the person what that is. But there is a way that we can go at this that can help a person get a picture on what that looks like. I think I worked with another individual who, when I reinforced him, I said, the way you handled that, it was like I just had Superman in the house. Just as a simple example.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, another person who who I tried to veer away from a choice that they don't want to behaviorally make. We created a picture of the most disgusting person they could think of, attached a name to it, and we worked with that name and then coached the person what the name of the person they wanted to be looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And we developed goals around being that person.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, in a certain context, work with who that person is, and they become more than just a pawn.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to redirect like rats in a box. We can actually work with who that person is, help them see that in a concrete way, and I'll tell you that individual will come alive. These individuals, Jeff, are the most deserving people among us. And when we give ourselves to them in that way and are present with them in that way, it changes their life.
This is the greatest way to wrap up. It's so inspirational. By doing this, they come alive. That's such a powerful common statement. By working with these individuals, for them to accomplish what they're capable of doing, as opposed to just doing it all for them, they really kind of come alive. And that, Steve, it's brilliant, great way to wrap up. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show. This has been awesome. So thank you very much. Again, for our listeners, if you want to learn more about Steve Gundy, go to stevegundy.com. Again, stevegundy.com. And with that, Steve, thanks again. Have you on another topic. But everybody else, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.